Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Follow the Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts to listen to our episodes early and ad-free and get access to monthly exclusive episodes. Go to patreon.com/madnesspod. You can also hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts for ad-free episodes. We've got links in our show notes.
The opinions expressed in the following episode do not necessarily reflect those of the Minds of Madness podcast. Listener discretion is advised.
At 4:32 p.m., 911 dispatchers in Gulf Breeze, Florida, took a call from a quiet suburban home, and then another. Minutes later, they got a third call, but this time, gunshots could be heard in the background. Inside the house were two young children and two adults trained to handle emergencies. Colin Turner was a Marine veteran who used to disarm bombs for a living, the kind of job where one wrong move could cost lives. His wife, Bree Kuhn, was Navy. She was sharp, commanding, and familiar with pressure. From the outside looking in, they appeared to be the kind of couple built to withstand anything. But behind closed doors, tension had been rising. Arguments had become routine, therapy had stopped, and the calm they projected to the outside world was starting to slip. Then, on September 8th, 2021, everything came to a head inside Colin and Bree's home. Join me now as we trace the final hours of a military family in crisis. You'll learn how a string of overlooked warning signs, a locked garage, and a final text message set the stage for a tragedy no one saw coming. Around midday, James Joyner got a text from Colin Turner. The two men shared a complicated connection. They were both fathers to the same little girl. James had been Bree Kuhn's partner before. Colin was her husband now. James and Colin's relationship wasn't personal, but it was civil, built on the shared goal of keeping things peaceful for the kids. So when Colin reached out that day, it wasn't for drama. It was a heads up.
"Hey man, Bree's losing it. She ran my laptop through the dishwasher last night because I turned the Wi-Fi off. I'm planning on getting out of here with the little kids, but she already said she'll press charges if I take Kylie."
Colin didn't sound angry. He sounded tired, frustrated, like someone who's been through this before and didn't know what else to do. James answered carefully, trying to keep things calm. He told Colin he was sorry to hear that and that he hoped Bree had turned a corner. Colin replied she hadn't and that she'd been kicked out of therapy groups and she was also still drinking. The conversation paused for a while after that, but it stayed with James. A few hours later at 6:09 p.m., he followed up.
"Everything okay, man?"
Colin didn't hold back.
"Nah, gonna be worse before it gets better. She always told her stories about you, and I thought you sucked, but now I think she probably did the same stuff to you."
James offered support. He said he was there if Colin needed anything. And then, one last message.
"Yep. She just locked me in the garage because I wouldn't talk to her."
After that, Nothing. Hours passed without a reply. Then James' phone lit up again. But this time, it wasn't Colin reaching out. It was Bree, with a message that read,
"Come get your daughter. I just shot Colin."
And just like that, everything changed. Colin Turner didn't talk much about what he saw overseas. He didn't have to. The ring he wore told you most of what you needed to know. Two letters engraved on the inside, MM, Memento Mori, a reminder, remember death. Not in the morbid way, but in the way soldiers do. Quietly, permanently. Colin had spent years in the Marine Corps, working in explosive ordnance disposal, the unit that deals with bombs. One wrong move and people die, but he had a way of staying calm that made other people follow suit. His colleagues trusted him, his friends looked up to him, and when he came home, that steady presence never left. Colin wasn't loud. He didn't need to be. He was the kind of person who fixed things without making a show of it. A natural problem solver, at work, at home, and in the quiet spaces in between. After 14 years of service, he medically retired and began a new mission, raising three kids and going back to school. He was enrolled in Johns Hopkins University, working toward a master's in electrical engineering. And while homeschooling during the pandemic and caring for two toddlers full-time. Before marrying Bree, Colin had a son from a previous relationship. Bree had a daughter of her own. Together, they blended their families, adding two more kids, and built a home in a quiet neighborhood near Naval Air Station Pensacola. From the outside, things looked solid. But even for someone who defused bombs for a living, some things are harder to disarm. Bree Kuhn had always known how to survive a storm. She learned early that calm didn't come easy. Not in her childhood home, not in the spaces she grew up navigating. Bree was born in December 1987, the younger of two siblings raised in a home that moved often and didn't always feel safe. When her parents separated, she went and lived with her dad, but the memories that followed her into adulthood didn't come from divorce papers. According to her older brother, their mother had been physically abusive, and Bree, despite being 8 years younger, often stepped in to protect him, a kind of toughness that can be hard to let go of. From a young age, Bree learned that strength meant staying alert, taking charge before someone else could take it from you, shaping the way she handled conflict. It was how she made decisions, and later, how she ran her household. Bree joined the Navy in her early 20s, around the same time she had her first child. And although the relationship didn't last, like Colin's, Bree embraced being a single parent. Bree wasn't just determined, she was ambitious, moving through the ranks quickly, and respected by peers for being decisive and driven. At home, she took on more things than most people could juggle, and when she met Colin, they shared more than uniforms. They shared experience, parenting, service, and the pressure of always holding things together. While in their late 20s, Bree and Colin got married and combined their two families, later adding two children of their own. From the outside, they looked like a military success story. But inside the home, Bree was struggling. She'd been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and had been attending therapy. But when the sessions weren't sticking, she'd been asked to leave two group programs and skipped her last few individual appointments, and the drinking hadn't stopped. In September 2021, Bree attempted suicide. A week later, she pulled the trigger. while James was still processing the message he'd received from Bree.
Come get your daughter. I just shot Colin.
Bree was standing in her driveway, barefoot, dazed, surrounded by police and EMTs. As officers approached Bree, she didn't run. She didn't even wait to be asked what had happened. She just started talking, and her confession was captured by police body cam.
He was dead. I saw him, and I tried to help, but he was dead.
Well, let's not talk about that right now, okay?
My kids don't have a dad or a mom, no. And it's my fault. And he's right.
All right. For right now, we're just going to do this for right now, okay?
Just for your safety, for ours, okay?
I'm a murderer.
Listen to me. You're not under arrest right now. You're being technically investigated.
No, you should arrest me. I killed my husband. Hopefully I just shot him. Maybe he's not dead. He should not be dead.
This was the third time that day police had been called to Colin and Bree's home. Earlier, they both contacted 911, and in each case, officers had arrived, spoken with them, and then left. Nothing they saw seemed to warrant an arrest. No signs of imminent danger. But this time was different. The final 911 call, made just before police showed up, captured the moment everything changed.
Hi, you guys have been at my house once today, and then most recently the WD talked my wife into letting me in the house, and then she locked me in the garage, and I tried to break my arm, and I was trying to get back inside.
What's your account, sir?
6184 Jenks Drive. She's currently got me locked in the garage because earlier she broke both of the big doors, and then she, when I came out here to fix it after getting in the house earlier, she locked the door behind me. And then when I tried to...
What was that?
You just stopped me.
She's driving. She just shot him. I just heard four shots. Sir, are you there?
The 911 call had captured Colin being shot in the garage by Bree. When officers arrived moments later, they found Colin in the garage and Bree outside, barefoot, dazed, surrounded by flashing lights. Inside the home, just steps away, were two of their children, 3 and 4 years old. They hadn't been physically harmed, but what they witnessed that day would stay with them forever. Feeding your cat shouldn't feel like a high-stakes negotiation, but if you've got one, you know the drill. One day they love their food, the next, they're looking at you like you just served them wet cardboard. That was my old cat Hudson. Great cat, but when it came to food, he had opinions. And he wasn't subtle about them. If you've been through that, you get it. And that's why I want to tell you about Smalls. Smalls is fresh, protein-packed cat food made with real ingredients you'd actually find in your fridge. Chicken, turkey, beef, no junk, no byproducts, and no preservatives you need a chemistry degree to decode. That's why Cats.com named it the best overall cat food. And yeah, it's delivered right to your door. So you can skip the pet aisle guesswork. They started back in 2017, just a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for friends. Now they've served millions of meals to cats across the US. And here's what sets Smalls apart. Cats love it, and it actually makes them feel better. 88% of cat parents saw real improvements. Fewer hairballs, healthier weight, more energy, softer coats, and yeah, a less awful litter box situation. Even if your cat's a diehard kibble fan, Smalls makes a great topper to ease them into a fresh food diet. And the best part? It's risk-free. If your cat doesn't eat it, Smalls will refund you, no stress. For a limited time only, because you're a Minds of Madness listener, you can get 60% off your first order of Smalls, plus free shipping, by using my code MADNESS. That's 60% off when you head to smalls.com and use promo code MADNESS. Again, That's promo code MADNESS for 60% off your first order, plus free shipping at smalls.com. In the chaos that followed, the house was sealed off, while first responders moved quickly to secure the scene, keep the children safe, and to begin piecing together what had just happened. Bree's 12-year-old daughter was picked up by her father, James, the same man she'd texted just hours earlier. The two youngest children were placed into temporary custody by the Florida Department of Children and Families. As officers walked the property, body cams captured the final details: where the gun had been, where Colin had collapsed, where he died from his injuries. After her arrest, Bree was brought to the station for questioning. While there, police allowed her to make a phone call. She called her father. What followed was a heartbreaking exchange. A daughter in free fall. A father trying to steady the ground beneath her.
Ellen?
Daddy.
Ellen. Where are you?
I'm in an office. Daddy.
You're at the police?
Yeah.
You're at the police station?
Yeah.
All right.
I killed him all.
I know you did something. I know you did. I'm just trying to figure out why.
When he asked about the children, Bree didn't deflect. She took responsibility.
The kids okay?
No, they don't. I'm belong in jail. I'm sure I'm going to jail.
So are you in now, or are you in the line? Is this a phone call you're allowed?
Yeah, I said I could call you.
Right. Have you? Obviously, it's early. We haven't figured out what the course of action is, but do you need a lawyer, or are you going to plead? Well, anyway, I'll ask you this later.
As Bree's father tried to make sense of what had happened, Bree said something else. Something that would later be used against her.
We had such a good weekend. He's my best friend.
Hold on, speak clearly. No, I'm not here to. Sorry. You have to what?
We had such a good weekend. He's my best friend.
I'm not saying you guys had a great weekend, but for some reason, Colin started this thing last night with you. I mean, you obviously didn't put his computer in the washer. We're clear on that, right?
He's dead.
Oh, yes, he is. I'm sorry about that. I'm very sorry.
After being indicted for the first-degree premeditated murder of her husband, Bree's trial began on September 24, 2024. While she admitted to shooting Colin, her defense argued it hadn't been murder. They claimed Bree was a battered spouse, trapped in a cycle of emotional, psychological, and sexual abuse that had left her traumatized and desperate. It was a serious claim, one that demanded scrutiny. To evaluate it, the jury was taken back to the day of the shooting and the night before, when a small fight broke out over the TV volume, snowballing into a battle for control. Bree had cranked up the volume. Colin responded by cutting the Wi-Fi. Bree then retaliated by putting his laptop through the dishwasher. By morning, Colin had told her he planned on leaving and taking the children to his parents in Georgia. Then over the next few hours, police visited the home multiple times. Body cam footage from those visits became central to the case, and what it showed was hard to reconcile with what came next. Two parents, calm voices, no threats, no screaming. Even the children looked at ease, chattering to officers, showing off their toys. At no point did the footage capture shouting or aggression between Bree and Colin, nor did it show them in the same place at the same time. Just a home that looked orderly, clean, with a sign at the entrance that read, "Our Happy Place." It looked like a family trying to hold things together, the kind of home where you'd never expect anything to go wrong. But behind the calm, something was unraveling. During the first visit, Bree had made the call, and by the time the officers left, it seemed like the tension had eased.
And then we'll get out of y'all's hair in just a minute. You guys gonna be okay, you think, after we leave?
Yeah. Let's talk with the wind, see if they can help me.
We can't dictate who takes the kids or where they go. Just you guys try to be civil about it, man. How long have you guys been married?
5 years, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, I don't have
both
to tell
really
you.
Both really bad at knowing our
man.
Later that afternoon, police returned. This time, they found Colin standing in the street, his 4-year-old daughter wrapped around his leg. He told deputies Bree had taken his ID, locked him out of the house, and wouldn't let him leave with the kids.
Hello.
Nice to see you here.
Yes, sir, indeed. What can I do for you? I'm Deputy Glenn. Can I share something?
Hey, my wife won't let me in my house.
Okay, is this wife?
Domestic dispute? Yep.
So. Okay, can I talk to you over here?
Can I have my daughter, please?
Hey, can I just have you wait right there for just one moment, okay? Not right now. Hold on. Just one second. We'll get this figured out, okay? So what's going on today, sir?
So, she's got mental health stuff going on. I was trying to leave for Georgia to get a break from her for me and the kids earlier today. And then she called you guys. When I was talking to you guys, she took my photo ID, all my access to money and everything.
Okay.
And then took the kids inside and locked me out. So they're locked outside in my driveway.
Okay.
The last couple hours.
You live here?
What's that?
Do you live here?
Yeah. Yeah, we're co-owners. We both.
Okay.
So I've been on the phone with family advocacy through the Navy and all that most of the day. So I haven't cared that I'm the outside.
Okay.
Until she came outside with my daughter on the porch.
Okay.
Screaming. So I came over and she gave my daughter to me. She didn't make her stop screaming.
Colin also gave officers a heads up. Bree had access to firearms inside the home and wasn't in a good place emotionally.
She's got a shotgun and her pistol in the bedroom with her. Okay. And my pistol is on the dashboard of my truck. I'll put it there all pretty for you.
Okay, you stay out here, man.
I'm stubborn. There's a little dog running around. Go all the way to the wall and then turn right. Her name's Bree. Her name's Bree. She's got both the kids in there with her.
All right. Do me a favor and lift your shirt up a little bit.
Yeah,
of course. Okay, fish your key. Okay, I seen something sticking out. Yeah. I didn't know if it was a key or what was going on.
I put on nice shorts with no pockets.
Okay.
And then Colin gave them more context.
A little bit of backstory. In March, she tried to kill herself and did inpatient. After she was inpatient and then she was outpatient group for a while, she got kicked out of that group. And then went back in paper active a second time. There's suicidal ideations, and there she was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. Are you familiar?
Hmm.
So she was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder in March or April. Got kicked out of her first therapy group, got kicked out of her second therapy group, and she skipped her last two individual therapies.
The officers also heard Bree's version of events.
I was trying to take my kids to Georgia.
Okay.
Are
they your kids or are they yours and his?
These two. Well, the small ones are mine and his.
Okay.
And
so he's taking them to Georgia?
Yeah, I was talking to him about wanting a divorce, so he said that he's going to take the kids to Georgia. And he can because we're still married.
Okay. Yeah.
we got into an argument about it. He pushed me up against the wall. He threw me onto the floor in the bathroom. That's when I called the police. Earlier today. They came out and did, you know, whatever they could do, which wasn't really anything. And then I locked him out. He had been in contact. Well, he had been in contact with my command. So I was, he said that there's allegations of emotional abuse. So obviously I don't want him in there. You know, him and I arguing in front of the kids. So I locked him out.
But when they asked her if she had any injuries, she said no, there were no visible marks. Then she added something else. She said, next time, I'll make sure someone's there to see it. Later, that line would carry heavier meaning. To prosecutors, it hinted at premeditation. To jurors, it became one more thread in a web of doubt, intent, and unraveling control. By the time witnesses were called, the courtroom had already seen hours of body cam footage. Footage that told a story of its own. Although there was no shouting or physical violence, it was full of growing tension. In our home, we've got 5 cell phones. And with prices climbing on just about everything lately, our cell phone bill started to feel unreasonable, like a second mortgage payment. And even though some days the service isn't great, depending on where we are, or there are days when I barely touch my phone because I'm in the studio recording back-to-back episodes, the phone bill doesn't change. It shows up, and it's still expensive. That's why I want to tell you about Mint Mobile. Mint gives you premium wireless on the nation's largest 5G network, with plans starting at just $15 a month. You get reliable coverage, high-speed data, unlimited talk and text. You keep your phone, you keep your number, you just pay a lot less. Honestly, I know so many people that ditch the big three and switch to Mint, and they can't stop raving about the amazing service. The savings are real. And with no surprise overages or mystery fees, you know exactly what you're getting. This year, skip breaking a sweat and breaking the bank. Get your summer savings and shop premium wireless plans at mintmobile.com/madness. That's mintmobile.com/madness. Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month 5-gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. As the case unfolded, multiple neighbors and law enforcement officers testified, along with Bree's Navy supervisor, each offering a glimpse into what had been hidden behind closed doors. But when it was the defense's turn, they called just one witness, Bree's brother Eric. He told the court he'd been on the phone with Bree at the exact moment she shot Colin. Originally, the defense had intended to mount a full battered spouse claim, complete with testimony from a psychologist specializing in abuse and trauma. But that strategy fell apart when Bree chose not to testify, and without her voice on record, the expert witness couldn't take the stand. That left Eric on his own. To some people, he didn't come across as a key witness, more like a stand-in, a brother trying to help, but unprepared for the scrutiny that came next. During cross-examination, he struggled. His timeline shifted, his answer wavered, and at times, he seemed overwhelmed.
Okay, so when did you tell the police that during your interview with them?
I couldn't tell you. Like I said, this isn't the whole conversation I had with them. They were there much longer than this. I couldn't tell you what time it was.
Okay. So after they tell you, they ask you to tell them everything that happened, and Mr. Barnes tells you, walked through the whole thing, did you describe to the police what you're now describing to this jury?
I guess it's a shame I'm not one for redundancy. I know they knew it because I did tell them whether or not it was when they filmed or not. If it's not in here, it wasn't when I was filmed.
Okay, well, when Mr. Barnes tell you walk them through the entire thing, what do you think that means?
I think it was 3 days after the worst episode I've ever had in my entire life, and I still don't know how it has affected me.
Okay, well, that wasn't my question. My question was, what do you think that means when somebody tells you, walk us through the entire thing? What does that mean to you?
At one point, Eric veered off course entirely, correcting the prosecutor on the definition of immediate based on his degree in English.
Does that help refresh your memory about how soon after the physical altercation you heard the gunshots?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You said it was right after the gunshots, right?
Right after, yes, not immediately.
Okay. What do you define as right after?
Well, that's, you said immediately. I think immediately is within seconds. Right after it could be within a couple of minutes, sir. I'm sorry, I'm an English major, right? It's just specifics, I'm sorry.
So your definition of right after is a couple of minutes?
1 to 2.
Okay, but that's not what you described previously, correct? It's physical altercation, gunshots.
Well, and he's not taking my kids. They're making a statement, so that's...
Right, and this is all part of one sequence, right?
Yes, sir.
And there's no break in between, is there?
No, sir. Okay.
And when the topic of the murder weapon was raised, the interaction between Eric and Bree's defense attorney took an awkward turn to lightheartedness.
Did you assume that these detectives knew that a gun was involved?
Yes, sir.
You didn't think that your sister, like, shot him with a water pistol or...
Your Honor, I'm going to object to leading again at this point.
Sustained.
Did you think the gun was all that important? I know that sounds strange in this kind of a case, but did you assume that the police knew about the gun?
I don't know how they couldn't have.
Now, earlier, just to clear up, you talked about that it was, you were asked, how long was it physical? And you said 5 minutes. Remember that?
Yes, sir.
Is it your testimony that you perceived that it was physical for 5 minutes, or it was physical intermittent in the yelling and the sounds you're hearing, that you're perceiving physical going on? You understand my question?
Prosecutors later speculated Bree had called Eric just before the shooting on purpose as a way to create a real-time witness, someone who would vouch for her in the moment, someone she hoped might support a claim of self-defense. When police had spoken to her earlier that day, she told them Colin had been physically abusive, but when asked, she showed no visible injuries. Bree then made an offhand comment that next time, she'd make sure someone was there to see it. That someone may have been Eric. But the trial's most widely criticized moment came in the defense's closing argument. Bree's attorney opened with a rambling, off-topic apology to the jury, admitting he wasn't fully prepared.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm James Barnes. Didn't have a whole lot of work in the trial, and then the division of labor was certainly askew. That happens. It's a fluid event. I thought I'd get up to bat more. This is my 134th criminal trial, and I'm going to make an admission to you. I'm nervous. I'm nervous because I don't know if I'm going to be able to get everything out. And I'm nervous because 3 years ago, Bree Kuhn, her family, picked me. Mr. Etheridge came on the case later, but they picked me. And we all know that the woods are full of lawyers. And, you know, as you work up to this event, I go back to you know, what I told them, what my promise was. And my promise was that I would follow my oath, that I would do everything I could for her.
Nearly 5 minutes into the closing statement, Bree's defense attorney was still talking about how nervous he was, and then made a pun that left the courtroom stunned.
More nervous probably than I usually am. We started the case with a bang. I guess pun intended. Very, very powerful stuff, right? You agreed, keep an open mind, presumption of innocence, reasonable doubt. And then you hear the 911 call. And, you know, I've listened to it, I don't know, a dozen times or so, probably, over the last 3 years. And you know, that first shot, it gets you. I kind of jump every time. And I looked over at everybody. People's look, well, ranges, of course, but it was like, wow. It was like almost, like, what are we doing here, right? What are we doing here?
Even his cross-examination of Bree's ex-partner, James, felt combative and unnecessary.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You're with the DEA, and you addressed yourself as a special agent. I've practiced federal law many, many years, and always, not being facetious, but is there anything you're special about? Everybody that's an officer for DEA are called special agents. That's just your designation, right?
No, sir. I'm an 1811, a criminal investigator special agent, and we're the only people in DEA that are special agents, are 1811s. Approximately 4 years, 5 years going on.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Despite delays caused by Hurricane Helene on September 27, 2024, the jury returned its verdict. Bree Kuhn was found guilty of first-degree premeditated murder. As the verdict was read, Bree showed little emotion, but just before sentencing, turned and smiled at her attorney. No one could say for sure what it meant. Moments later, she was sentenced to life in prison, with no chance of parole for at least 40 years. The forensic evidence had been clear. Colin had been shot 4 times, all in the back. It wasn't just the number of shots, it was the direction. To the jury, that detail mattered more than any closing argument. Days later, Naval Air Station Pensacola released a statement. Bree Kuhn was being discharged from the U.S. Navy. Her separation was classified as general, technically under honorable conditions, but 1 step below a full honorable discharge. According to federal law, she would still retain limited rights under the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Rights Act. But her career, her family, and her freedom were gone. After Colin Turner was murdered, the headlines focused on the fight over Wi-Fi. Something small, something petty. But what really happened inside that home was so much more complicated and so much harder to explain. How does a family built on service, discipline and sacrifice, end in gunfire? How does a woman, respected in her career, raising 3 children, become the one who pulled the trigger? And how does a man who disarms bombs for a living lose his life inside his own garage? There's no simple answer. But this wasn't just a tragedy. It was a series of mischances. 3 911 calls, multiple police visits, statements that hinted to something deeper. And still, no one stepped in. The warning signs were there, but they weren't enough to stop what happened next. In the weeks after his death, Colin was awarded his degree in electrical engineering. He'd only been 2 credits short. His family accepted it on his behalf. That moment should have marked the start of something new, another chapter. Instead, it became a tribute, a milestone Colin never got to reach. During Bree's sentencing hearing, Colin's parents stood up in court and read their victim impact statements. Bree didn't respond. Not when they talked about the life she'd taken. Not when they described what it had done to their grandchildren.
When I think of the impact the loss of Colin has made on my life, it is difficult to put into words. The grief can wash over at any time. Of course, there are the expected times of grief, such as Mother's Day, his birthday, or the anniversary of his death. There are also unexpected times, like a mother-son dance at a wedding, or when asked how many children I have. There is still a sense of unreality. I can't believe this has happened. I've watched my husband suffer as he misses his son. He is so proud to tell people that Colin was in his last semester of school for his degree in electrical engineering, following in Don's footsteps, and had been accepted into Johns Hopkins for his master's. Colin earned this degree online while being a stay-at-home dad following his retirement from the Marines.
Colin's mother went on to describe the aftermath for Colin's sisters and children.
Our daughters have had the shock of unexpectedly losing their brother, and as a mother, their pain is my pain. But the greatest impact has been watching how this loss has impacted Colin's younger children, John, JP, and Lainey. We have custody of them and expect to raise them for the rest of our lives. It's been 3 years, and they're still fearful that we will die and leave them once again without parents. They worry that if we bicker, one of us may kill the other. They still ask if we have guns in the house, though they know the answer is no. No matter how many times we remind them that killing a loved one is very rare, their reality tells them differently.
Colin's father spoke next about pride, loss, and the legacy his son left behind.
Bree has deprived the world of a loving son, brother, father, grandson, friend, and leader. In the first few days after Colin died, and since then, we have been so blessed with all the people that reached out to us and said how Colin had impacted them in such a positive way. Neighbors, Marine friends, people we had never even met. We saw the love that he gave to the world. And the world desperately needs loving leaders like Colin now more than ever before. We call this God's light in the darkness. The darkness has not won. We know how this movie ends. The light wins. Hallelujah. There's the Marine that never dreamed of going to college, who is now about to complete his engineering degree, all because Colin gave him the confidence that he could do it. There's the Marine that would not accept payment for work on Colin and Bree's house because he was honoring Colin. There's the Marine that told of a time that he overheard a conversation between Colin and me. We were having a very casual conversation, and the Marine said, "Who are you talking to?" And he said, "That's my dad. He's my best friend."
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
When Colin's parents were finished, they said they forgave Bree. not because it was easy, but because holding on to hate wouldn't bring their son back. They also said they feared for their safety and for the safety of their grandchildren if Bree was ever released. Today, Colin's parents are raising the two youngest children, the ones who were inside the house that day. They're still so young, too young to understand everything that happened, but old enough to remember the fear. Now, they live with their grandparents, surrounded by love and stability. And while nothing can undo what they saw, those who love them are doing everything they can to help them heal. A GoFundMe was set up in Colin's name, Colin's legacy. The fund will go toward funeral expenses, therapy, legal fees, and education for the children Colin left behind. Colin had been a fixer, the calm in the chaos. But sometimes, calm on the outside hides something unraveling just beneath the surface. These kinds of tragedies don't happen overnight. They build slowly behind closed doors, where tension gets normalized, where small moments add up. We don't always know what people are carrying, not even the ones we live with. And sometimes, the people we trust most are capable of things we never imagined. If you or someone you love is experiencing domestic violence, help is available. Please reach out. Follow the Minds of Madness on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To support the show and get access to ad-free episodes, extra content, and Patreon-exclusive episodes, go to patreon.com/madnesspod. To find us on Instagram and Facebook, search The Minds of Madness, and on Twitter using the handle @MadnessPod. And also, by checking out our sponsors and using our promo codes, you're also helping support the show. We've got all the links in our episode notes. So until next week, thanks for listening.
To modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.